WZAK-HD2 and WZAK-HD3 Cleveland. And streaming live at blackplanetradio.com. This is a paid program brought to you by Cleveland Clergy Coalition. The views and opinions expressed are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station or its management.
This is for that little child with no father, for that man that doesn't have a place to stay, and for that little boy living with AIDS.
Can I tell you a story, tell you a story?
You can lean on me.
There's a man, oh yeah, standing on the corner. He has no home, he has no food, and his blue skies are gone.
Yes, it is.
Can you hear him crying now?
It must be Monday at 5 o'clock in Cleveland because the Issues of People in the Community is on every Monday. It's sponsored by the Cleveland Clergy Coalition. I'm your host today, Pastor Aaron Phillips. I have the great privilege to be the pastor of the Sure House Baptist Church. Best place to be on Sunday morning at 9 a.m., 113-18 Miles Avenue. Leo, man, where did I get that from? 113-18 Miles Avenue, Cleveland, Ohio. Love to see you every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. God bless you, Sure House. Thank you, Reverend Jock Lynn, yesterday for preaching the word for your pastor for the House of Sure House. And as I was away last week visiting my family, and I just had a great time. But I'm sure enough like Dorothy, Leo, there's no place like home. I was gone for an entire 7 days, Sunday to Sunday. Did some preaching out of town and went to see my family, but glad to be back in Cleveland today. Being here live, we're here. You can give us a call today, 216-578-1490. I'm also the executive director of the Cleveland Clergy Coalition, which is an amalgamation of all of the African-American clergy groups in our community. And we thank God for all of them, United Pastors and Mission, Baptist Pastors Council, Baptist Ministers Conference, the Cleveland Clergy Alliance, the African Methodist pastors, and a host of well others, the Knight Conference. Thank God for all of the clergy who work so very hard every day to help make our communities better. Well, it was very important to me, you all, for me to be back today, to be here live. Unfortunately, Miss Jarvis, Dr. Jarvis, is out of town, but really glad that she's a part of our broadcasting, because we needed a female presence, an anointed woman of God. And it just so happens, Melissa, that I am a father of four daughters. And so I've always have women's issues at the forefront of my life. And I don't know why the Lord blessed me so. And I thought every one of my children were going to be Aaron Juniors. The last one I had to put her middle, my name in her middle name. And she just graduated from Brown University. So I'm always concerned about things that happen in our community, specifically the violence that's happening with our women. So we wanted to bring on today to talk about domestic violence, particularly in the African-American community. We just had a tragedy in a Slavic village a few weeks ago, which was just a horrible incident. I think not only was the mother was murdered and her and a friend who was there to try to protect the family, but also a young boy and a young girl very toddlers for who were murdered. Anytime anybody can murder their own child, that's just amazing to me. Mm-hmm. And so we know there's something systemic and evil that's happening, and the best thing that we can do is expose the devil. Mm-hmm. And so we want to do that here today. And talking about the issues of domestic violence that is plaguing our community, and we have with us today the domestic violence clinic, is that right?
Domestic violence and child advocacy center.
Thank you.
It's a mouthful.
It is a mouthful, especially when your eyes are getting dim on you. And I'm trying to read this. You know, y'all got the bright, makes the bigger letters for us older folks. Tell us the name of the organization one more time.
The Domestic Violence and Child Advocacy Center.
All right, and this is Melissa Graves, who is the CEO of that great organization. And so, tell us what the center is about.
So DVCAC is the primary domestic violence and child abuse organization serving Cuyahoga County. We've been operating for over 43 years.
Wow.
We were one of the first specific domestic violence shelters in the country. It was here in Cuyahoga, and we still operate that. We work with about 19,000 victims of domestic violence every year.
How many shelters are there now?
There's one shelter in Cuyahoga County that is dedicated solely to victims of domestic violence.
Okay.
And it is...
Probably more than one, don't we?
Well, we have shelters who are serving victims of domestic violence, but we have one shelter that is specific to the needs of domestic violence victims.
Okay.
And it's because the shelter is secure. It's locked cameras. It's completely secure, confidential location. People don't know where it is. And we have it staffed 24/7 with staff who specifically have been trained and really understand the dynamics and the nuances of domestic violence.
Yes, that's good. And I think a lot of people may not know that in our community. So if you are a victim of domestic violence and you want to get help, there is help out there. And many times, and don't let me speak for you, but I live this every day, but I know many times people are trapped in a situation because of finances. Mm-hmm. And so they don't think there's anything else where they can go. So then therefore they stay in an abusive situation. Now, for me as a father, I've always made sure that my daughters don't have that problem. My daughter's problem is they can't find a man like their daddy. So we want to make sure that if people are out there that don't have that kind of backup and support, that there are places for you to go that have that support for you and you can be safe. Yeah. Is that correct?
That's right. And part of the reason that makes our shelter unique is that it can connect people to a comprehensive array of a number of services that we offer at our organization to support victims of domestic violence. So one of those is a 24/7 helpline where people can call. You can be in a situation, you can be in crisis, you can be just concerned about someone in your congregation, someone in your family, someone that you work with, that you're a little bit concerned that they might be in a dangerous situation, or
right.
maybe you know they're in a dangerous situation and you're not quite sure how to talk about it. Or you can have experienced domestic violence at a much earlier time in your life, and you're still dealing with the trauma. You're still dealing with the fear and the PTSD and the depression and all of the things that come along with having experienced trauma at some point in your life. And so folks, we have a therapy program where folks can be dealing with that kind of trauma. We have justice system advocates. We have advocates literally in our courts where victims, you know, if they're going through the court process, trying to get a protection order, trying to go through custody hearing, trying to go through everything that you need to go through in a domestic violence situation. Imagine going through a violent situation like that, and then you have to go to court. The court system is intimidating enough, but let alone after going through serious trauma.
Now, if I need the services and I have small kids, can I bring my kids with me, or do I have to leave my kids behind?
It depends on the situation.
Most of our services are child-friendly. You can bring the children with you, even in the domestic relations court where we have advocates. We've created a child-friendly area where they can
wait. Let me first introduce Shelly to the microphone, because we heard a new voice is with us, and Shelly Dudas.
Yep.
Did I get it right?
Yeah.
Thank you. Shelly Dudas is also here with a Domestic Violence Child Advocacy Center. And tell us your role there at the center.
Sure. I'm the Chief Advocacy and Inclusion Officer.
Okay.
And most of my background is actually in the
Get justice. Closer to the mic.
Most of my background is actually in the justice system. So
okay.
I have a lot of experience helping men, women, and children maneuver that system.
Okay, so let me just clear that question up. I've got a, we have a mother who has some children in a violent situation. She wants to get, be safe. Can she bring her children with her to the safe spot? That's one, that's my question.
Absolutely, absolutely. And most of the women and men that we serve do bring their children with them.
Okay.
So we are very child-friendly. We have youth programming. We have special spaces dedicated specifically to the kids. So we just try to make it as home-like as possible.
Now, just so I really have assumed that everybody that's listening knows exactly what domestic violence is, but let's just take one step back and just help us define what is domestic violence. I mean, that's certainly something I know when I see it, but maybe I don't have a clear definition of it. So can you help us with that?
Yeah, I think a lot of times people associate domestic violence with physical violence, and that is absolutely certainly part of it. But domestic violence, is it's a pattern of behavior where one person is intentionally causing harm to another person. It can be physical, it can be emotional, it can be psychological. And it's a way to control people. It can be financial, it can be cyber stalking, it can be physical, it can be sexual, it can be a lot of different things. Anytime someone is intentionally trying to control, coerce, and harm another a person in their life.
Okay, and since we said domestic is so, because I know that person, I'm familiar with that person who's trying to control, manipulate, and harm me. Is that correct?
So we also talk about intimate partner violence. So it's usually some sort of a dating relationship, past or present. But in the courts, we have all sorts of domestic violence situations. It could be an elderly parent whose child is moved in to be a caretaker, and there can be abuse happening in that situation. Mm-hmm. It can be siblings. Mm-hmm. It can be any family members living together in a domestic situation.
I think one of the things that I would like to really inform our communities and the church community, any person that is trying to manipulate and control you, that is a person you don't want to be around, because that only leads to danger. And it's the first sign that you see of someone trying to make you do something that you don't want to do, or trying to give you a guilt trip about something that you know is correct, that you don't feel good about. That's the kind of person you want to be alert to. And, you know, sometimes in, and it, it what really is amazing to me, and people, many people think this, that it's domestic violence is a economic thing, but it can be, but it's not, not only. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't matter what your income is, you can have it on all levels, and from being a lawyer or being a truck driver. Mm-hmm. And we're very concerned about that in our community. And sometimes it's even riskier the more, you know, the more power and prestige a person may have. They may even feel a little more entitled to manipulate and control a person.
Absolutely.
And I would tell people, you know, I never want to be in a relationship that does, the other person doesn't want me to be in it with me. You know, so if I got to control you to be with you, I don't want to be with you, because I don't want to be able to, I want you to have the freedom to be with me because you want to be with me.
Yeah.
And so, and that's really a hard thing to educate our people on, because sometimes that control thing can, and we're used to that. And so, you know, you kind of, if you grow up that way, or if you, that's all that you've seen, and then you, and I know you can talk about this because we preach about it all the time. You know, if you, it's a funny how a person could watch their mother be abused and then pick a mate that will be just like their abusive, whether their father or their stepfather or boyfriend that their mother had all their life as well, and grew up hating to be that way and say, I'm not going to do that, but then end up being that way anyway. So it's a, boy, we're out of time. This is the first break. I'm going to let you walk. You know, this is a very important topic. We need to inform our community about this. I am always concerned about the welfare and safety of our ladies in particularly, but our men as well. And it is our job as a church to always stand up for the least, the lost, and the left out. And for our ladies, thank God, our church wouldn't be a church without the women in our church. So we thank God for our ladies. So God bless you. Thank you for being here. We're going to come back for one more segment talking about domestic violence. And we have some other great information to share with you today. You're listening to The Issues, The People in the Community. I'm Pastor Aaron Phillips. And we'll hear from us from the other side of this break.
A girl searching for a fire.
Everything you need to know about Cleveland sports, news, weather, and more is at NewstalkCleveland.com. For instant updates, follow us on Facebook at NewstalkCleveland1490 and on Twitter at NewstalkCleveland1490.
For our troops and their families, the military is more than a career. It's a journey. And every step along the way, the USO is there.
It's an experience that that soldier will never forget. That's what the USO does.
Be a part of their journey. Donate today at USO.org.
Tea and Honey with Dr. Gwen Jarvis. I was born, raised, and educated locally. Weekly to bring tea leaves of my own experience, talents, and training as bold and boundless as a butterfly to enlighten, inspire, and uplift our community and beyond. With stems on education, health, community, civic, spiritual, and the joys of life. Thursdays, 5 p.m., WERE, 1490 a.m. Join me for tea.
I'm getting older. Do I need to worry about falling?
Yes, you do. Each year, one in four people 65 and older will experience a fall, and many will be serious. The majority of falls happen at home, so remove things that could make you trip and install handrails to keep you steady. To learn more about the steps you can take to help prevent a fall, please talk to your doctor. You can also visit aarpfoundation.org or medicaremadeclear.com/falls. This message was brought to you by UnitedHealthcare and AARP Foundation.
My name is Dr. Will Crossley, president of the Pineywood School, the longest-serving African-American boarding school in the country. Since 1909, Pineywood has educated children with the unshakable belief that all students can lead extraordinary lives through academic achievement and responsible citizenship. As a graduate, I was once one of those students. With nearly 100% of our graduates going on to college, you can make an impact in our students' lives and communities. Partner with us today. Go to pineywoods.org and click Donate.
Sometimes we forget that the funeral is for the living. It is the last visible viewing and celebration. But for those of us in the industry, it is a time for our experience and excellence to shine. At R.A. Prince Funeral Services, our expertise in different cultures, economics, and family blend makes us stand out in helping to meet the trust and faith you have placed in our hands. We know it is paramount for us to ease the burden and release the pressure of this time of need. Let R.A. Prince Funeral Services meet with you and take the worry out. Call us at 216-518-1777. That is 216-518-1777. R.A. Prince Funeral Services, for such a time as this.
This is for that little child with no father. For that man that doesn't have a place to stay. And for that little boy living with AIDS.
You're listening to Issues of People of Community. We're back for our next segment. I'm Pastor Aaron Phillips, the proud pastor of the Sure House Baptist Church, located at 11318 Miles Avenue. Best place to be on Sunday morning at 9 a.m. And thank God for the Sure House family for carrying on yesterday while Pastor Phillips was on a hiatus with his children and grandchildren. Can you believe I have grandchildren? I do. And I had a good time with them, but I'm so glad to be back home in Cleveland, and thank God for the Cleveland Clergy Coalition. And we have some great things that we're going to be talking about here in the next segment with all of our pastors we're meeting tomorrow. But I wanted to get right back to the domestic violence that we're talking about today. And before these great advocates and talk about this, well, let's first give out your telephone number and contact. If people need to contact you, they're in this crisis. Well, who should they contact and how should that happen?
Yep. So the helpline number is 216-391-4357. It's 391-HELP.
391-HELP. Say it one more time.
391-4357.
391-4. And so and is that a 24-hour?
It's 24/7.
Okay. All right. And is there somebody there to answer, or am I going to get a recording?
You're going to always get someone answering it.
Okay. Live. All right. That's good to know. All right. Come on. Tell us some highlights, because I could probably talk about this for another 3 hours because it's so close to home. But tell us some things that we must know, Melissa.
Yeah, I think there's a couple. You hit on one of them really big, a number of them before the break. But just to set a little bit of context, 1 in 3 women and 1 in 4 men will experience some form of domestic violence in their lives. one in four women and one in seven men will experience that severe physical type of domestic violence that can, you know, escalate into homicides. 50% of all women who are killed in this country, more than half, are killed at the hands of a current or former partner. So
wow. Can you say that one more time?
If 50% of female homicides in this country, more than 50%, are at the hands of their intimate partner, current or former. Mm. That same statistic for men is less than 5%. So while, yes, men can be victims of domestic violence, it is women who are being more severely hurt and killed by their partners, and it's disproportionately affecting communities of color. Women of color are more often the victims of homicide.
Well, you know what? I'm so glad you said that, Melissa, because I do this work on a daily basis, so I automatically knew, most black folks would know, if it's a, this is how we say it, Melissa, if the Caucasian community has a cold, the African community has pneumonia. So if it's 50% of women are being killed at the hands of, and that's just all women, it's going to be higher among African American women.
Yeah.
That's why I said that. And so I just assume that because that's just the way of the world. And that's why I want to highlight this, because it is never okay to hit a woman. Now, I was taught that in church as a boy, even as a little boy. You know, when the girls hit you, you know, at least when I was a kid, when a girl liked you, they slapped you upside your big head, you know, and that meant that she liked you. And she didn't know why she liked you. That's why she slapped me upside the head, because you're a big headed boy. Right. And we were taught from there, you never hit a girl. I have a sister and I only have, there's four boys and there's one girl. And so my sister, I'm the youngest. And well, she's the only girl, so you know what's going to happen. I'm the baby boy. She's the only daughter. We're fighting all the time. Mm-hmm. And my sister is 5 years older than me. But I, you know, it was okay. They let us fight because she always beat me up. I mean, she could probably beat me up right now, okay? But she is my sister. But I was always taught, you do not hit your sister back. You protect your sister. That's just the way. That is not true so much anymore. And so we need to reiterate that to our men. Real men do not need physical force to receive love and respect from women. And so that's not the way to do that, but there's a better way to go. Yeah. There's never a reason. Walk away. If it gets that bad and you're that frustrated, walk away. And maybe we need to teach our men some, give them some tools.
Right.
Right? And not just say, don't do this. Let's give them some tools and, you know, to manage that aggressiveness. And a lot of times, things are, especially if you're I am an African-American man. So, you know, when the way of the world is beating you down so, and then, you know, things aren't right on so many fronts, then you come home and then you get in the yakety-yak at home and then you just kind of burst and then frustrated. I get that, but that's still not a reason. You don't take that out on your loved one.
And most African-American men don't do that. So, you know, all African-American men are... experience discrimination and racial bias and experience danger. You experience the things that you experience over the course of your lifetime.
Right.
But most African-American men don't.
That's right.
Hit another person or another woman. So it's not, it's coming. It's not about anger. It's not about substance abuse. It's not even about mental health. It's not about all of these things that we sometimes associate as reasons that domestic violence happens. It happens because of a system of belief where somebody thinks that it's okay for me to do that to another person, and it's okay for me to assert my control over another person in that way. Because a lot of people have substance abuse. They don't abuse their partners. A lot of people have mental health issues. They don't lash out in that way. So there's something deeper than these psychological issues that are going on. It's a system of belief.
Well
and,
said.
You know, we see a lot of times in our fields, so it's about oppression. It's about that control. And we're really coming out of, you know, this cultures of oppression where we have historic racism, we have historic sexism. And it plays out in rigid gender stereotypes that have men struggling to have healthy masculinity. And to, you know, to understand, well, when you're in a relationship, what do I deserve? What do I expect? And what do I need to give back in return? And, you know, and I hate, sometimes I hate my work, because I'm always out talking about, you told me not to bang the table. I'm always talking about these awful, you know, as you said it in the beginning, these evil systemic things that are happening. But we really need to be talking about what we expect from one another and what we expect in a relationship and what is a healthy relationship and what is equality and communication and trust. Everybody,
that's
man or woman,
that's
gay or straight, any type of relationship,
that's right.
That's what we should be.
I think that we see more, I see and hear more pastors preaching and teaching about being in healthy relationships, what it means to be a good husband, what it means to be a good father, what it means to be a good wife, what it means to be a loving mother. We're hearing more of that penetrate in our sermons and teachings than I ever had before, which is a good thing. And we want to really explain and expose the fact that we cannot tolerate violence in our community. Now, you know, now one of the things that I know that really bothers me, that I don't care how many restraining orders you get up against a person can violate those restraining orders and they still, so that some, I mean, we encourage that. I mean, I help people get those, but then I can think of, you know, several, but two major ladies from our community, one just passed, was murdered, and another about a year ago, I don't want to call names, but who the people had restraining orders against them, and but yet they were, the restraining order did not prevent that person from that lady being murdered. Can you speak to that, and what can, what do we tell our ladies? What do I tell my daughters about that?
So it's very frustrating, and I think there's two things that I want to say about that, and the first is, if we took this issue seriously and if we cared about protecting victims of domestic violence, we would devote the resources to, you know, it's often, it's not always that police officers don't want to go out and pursue temporary protection order violations or arrests when there's an arrest for domestic violence and they're not sending police officers out to pursue these people. It's not always that police officers don't want to. We simply don't have enough, there's not enough police officers to pursue all of those things.
Okay.
So we need to devote the resources.
Okay.
But second of all, we have some real serious long-standing stereotype and issues around victim blaming that we need to deal with, and that is not taking people seriously and kind of a long-held belief that, well, she chose to be in that relationship, so somehow she must be complicit in that abuse. She agreed to be in that relationship. So, you know, that's just a messed up relationship with that they have, and, you know, we're not going to take it very seriously.
I understand.
And so we need to look very seriously at who we, at believing victims and taking it seriously when there's any sort of altercation or violence of any kind in a relationship.
Well, let me speak up for some clergy. Let me do some clergy advocacy for a moment. I know that many of our clergy, male and female, have counseled people, me being one of them, and told the young lady, get out of that relationship, don't do it, get, you know, stay away, and the next thing you know, they're right back in it again. And then you try to even help them, you pay the first month's rent, you make sure they get a job, move them from over here, from the next thing you know, here comes a joker again. So we have seen that happen. And so, you know, it's almost like the story of the little boy they called Wolf. What do you do about that? Yes, let's have you speak to that, Shelley.
Sure. What we know about domestic violence victims and domestic violence in general is that those relationships are extremely complicated. If you think of a healthy relationship, those relationships are complicated. So when you add in domestic violence, it becomes even more complicated and complex.
Sure.
And so what I would like to say about the protection orders and getting protection orders is that they really are only a piece of paper, and they're only as good as that person that they're against not violating them. So that's when we really encourage people to call the helpline, work with an advocate, and we can do what's called safety planning. And that safety planning is really an individualized plan on how you can help stay safe. Because
that's good.
The paper, if the police don't come, that paper is just a paper. So we want to teach you some skills and tools that if he's coming, what's your plan?
So, Shelley, every time a person gets a protection order, is your office notified to have follow-up with those folks?
We actually help the majority of the people getting protection orders in the county. So we have people that are in all the criminal courts, and then we also have people in the domestic relations court to work with them, to be a resource, to really just help them with their journey. We're never going to tell them what to do. We're going to give them their options and let them make the best decision.
Let's give that information as the music is coming.
Sometimes people with the best of intentions give advice, and it's not always the right advice. And we would love to be a resource to anybody who's wondering about how to be a support to victims.
Yes, give your telephone number out again, Melissa.
391-4357.
391-4357, Domestic Violence Child and Advocacy Center, Melissa Graves, Shelley Dudas, thank you all so much for coming. Will you will come back again?
Absolutely.
We'll make sure. Well, you know, one of the things I'm going to commit to, can you all commit to this? At least every 6-8 weeks, come back and let's highlight this. Let's keep this on the forefront so we don't have to wait for another violent thing to happen before we have you all come on. Let's always do this. This is that important to me, and it should be, and I know it is to you. Mm-hmm. Let's just be a vehicle for information to remind people how horrible domestic violence is, and you don't have to stay in a manipulative, controlling relationship. That is not godly. All right? I just want folks to know that we do not believe in it. Thank God. Thank you for being here. Really appreciate you so much. God bless you. Thank you, Leo. We've got to go. We've got Pastor Cedric Veal is going to be on the line with us after this break. We're going to talk about some great things that's happening in East Cleveland on this coming Sunday. The issues, the people, the community. I'm your host, Pastor Aaron Phillips, Sure House Baptist Church, Cleveland Clergy Coalition. Hear from us on the other side of this break.
Yes, I will.
For years, North Coast Auto Mall has been providing financing to people with credit challenges. We are known for that, but we're so much more. We'd like to share some facts about North Coast Auto Mall with you. North Coast Auto Mall is Cleveland owned and operated for over 20 years.
That's a fact.
North Coast Auto Mall has over 2,000 vehicles available for sale.
That's a fact.
North Coast Auto Mall offers over 100 different models at every location.
That's a fact.
North Coast Auto Mall offers their vehicles for sale at 10% less than the market average.
That's a fact.
North Coast Auto Mall takes in trade-ins and offers service contracts on every single transaction.
That's a fact.
North Coast Auto Mall is consistently the highest volume independent dealer group in the state of Ohio month over month, year over year.
That's a fact.
North Coast Auto Mall has the widest selection of inventory at the best prices in the market.
That's a fact.
Come see the facts for yourself and shop at North Coast Auto Mall near you to get the best price on the vehicle of your dreams. Three locations are called 1-800-NEXT-CAR.
99 cents down, for example, amount finance equals 9,000. APR rate 24.9. 48 monthly payments of $297.01 upon approved credit.
Sometimes we forget that the funeral is for the living. It is the last visible viewing and celebration. But for those of us in the industry, it is a time for our experience and excellence to shine. At R.A. Prince Funeral Services, our expertise in different cultures, economics, and family blend makes us stand out in helping to meet the trust and faith you have placed in our hands. We know it is paramount for us to ease the burden and release the pressure of this time of need. Let R.A. Prince Funeral Services meet with you and take the worry out. Call us at 216-518-1777. That is 216-518-1777. R.A. Prince Funeral Services, for such a time as this.
Did you miss the Tom Joyner Morning Show?
Dear Black people, stop buying those $2,000 purses when you don't have $2,000 in any account under your mattress, wherever. Knock it off. Literally. Buy a knockoff.
The Tom Joyner Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 9 a.m. on News Talk Cleveland WERE and streaming live at blackplanetradio.com.
At Walgreens, you can get expert diabetes advice 24/7, find all major brands of testing supplies, and download tools to help you stay on track. Talk to your Walgreens pharmacist today.
Today we decided to walk to school. At the corner, we waited to cross the street. The stoplight counted down. 15, 14, 41,
31, I mean 13.
We took a left on Carroll Garden Street. Loud music was coming from a car. Danny's a smart kid, but he gets so distracted.
There were so many other sounds, I didn't know what to focus on.
Danny, Earth to Danny. Suddenly, he realized he forgot his homework again.
I left my homework on the table.
At the school steps, we held goodbye. I really hope he doesn't have another bad day at school today.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's Understood.org, a free online resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Get personalized recommendations, practical tips, daily access to experts, and more. Go from misunderstanding to Understood.org. Brought to you by Understood and the Ad Council.
News Talk Cleveland, WERE, Cleveland Heights, WENZ HD2, and WZAK HD3, Cleveland. And streaming live at blackplanetradio.com.
This is for that little child with no father. For that man that doesn't have a place to stay. And for that little boy living with AIDS.
Can I tell you a story? Tell you a story.
You can lean on me.
All right, we're back. This is Pastor Aaron Phillips with the Sure House Baptist Church, Executive Director of the Cleveland Clergy Coalition. Glad to have you here listening with us today on our weekly broadcast. And we are coming live to you, and I have one of our dearest partners of the Cleveland Clergy Broadcast, my dear friend and brother, Reverend Dr. Cedric Veal, Senior Pastor of the Temple Baptist Church right here in Cleveland, Ohio on Noble Road. Is at 1862 Noble Road in East Cleveland. We thank God for Dr. Veal is on the line. Hello, my dear brother. Well, I thought I had him, Leo. Hello, my dear brother.
Can you hear me?
Now I can.
I'm here.
You're here, Reverend. You're here?
I'm here, doctor. Can you hear me?
We can hear you just fine. You got something coming up this coming Sunday that we've been hearing about on the radio, so we wanted to bring you live. Tell us about it, Reverend.
I appreciate that. We're having the second annual community event. We're reaching out to those who are less fortunate, maybe having a hard time, you know, supplying for their kids. And we're doing a whole lot for the community. Going to be passing out over 2,000 backpacks. We're going to be cooking over 3,000 meals. We're going to be giving away clothing. We're going to have 6 barbers that will be doing free haircuts on the premises. We're going to be giving away free produce, free clothing. We've got about 24 agencies that's dealing with social services to be a help to our people. That'll be free. It's going to be free health screenings. It's just going to be a whole lot.
Wow. Now, when is this taking place, Reverend? I need to get that today. When is this taking place?
It's going to be this coming Sunday,
from
12 to 3 p.m. at the Temple Baptist Church right there on the ground.
All right, and give us the address of Temple Baptist Church, 1862 Noble Road.
1862 Noble Road, East Cleveland.
Yes, sir, and Reverend, I'm going to be there right with you because I mean, we're going to bring some folks from the Sure House Baptist Church is partnering with you and the Cleveland Clergy Coalition. We're going to be there celebrating with you. We're going to have some folks from First Energy there to tell folks about some job opportunities and some other opportunities with some manufacturing jobs as well. We're going to have a table and a booth there.
And I appreciate you partnering with me all the way.
Oh, absolutely, brother. And this is the kind of work that the church is all about. And thank you for leading that effort at noon on Sunday. All roads lead to Temple Baptist Church, 1862 Noble Road, under the great leadership of Reverend Dr. Cedric Veal. Now, Reverend, are you going to be on the microphone? You got to say a word to us or something, don't you? You got to do that, Reverend.
Well, at this time and season, I think that the church has to be the answer to the question that people never ask, and that's who's going to help me. And the people are reaching out. They can't turn anywhere else, but they ought to be able to turn to the church. And I still believe that our answer is in God, for 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people, which are called by my name, which is humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, God says, then I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal the land. And the operative word in that particular verse is then. So maybe while we're waiting on God, God is waiting on us. So
yes, sir.
At Temple, our thing is we're giving an ingrown church an outward focus. So we're reaching out to the community. You don't have to be a member of our church to receive the services. All we want you to do is come, have fun, and everything is free.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, Pastor Vila. I will see you on Sunday at noon. I'll be at your house from 9 to 11. Then we're on our way up that road, up 116th, on the other side of town, East Cleveland Temple Baptist Church, 1862 Noble Road, this coming Sunday, y'all. Let's all be there and let the community come out, and let's see the church in action in the community. Thank you for your work, Pastor Ville. Appreciate you. Love you, my brother. All right. God bless you.
All right. Love you, too, bro.
Take care. Bye-bye. Blessings on you. All right, that's Pastor Cedric Ville, Senior Pastor of the Temple Baptist Church. Thank you for calling in. Listen, I want to pivot today. We're talking about the significance of the church work, and we had an incident of one of our staff members, y'all, who was driving while being an African-American woman in the city of Euclid, Ohio. And as she was driving, she saw some African-American boys being stopped by the police. She slowed down to keep her eye on the police, and the police said something to her. She said something back. I'm not sure exactly what that exchange was, but they literally pulled her over and gave her a ticket for driving too slow. That would have been okay, but then they proceeded to pull her out of the car, punch her, taser, punch her in the face, handcuffed her and put her in jail for driving too slow. And this was all caught on tape, not by the Euclid police, but by her husband, who she was able to call because she saw there was going to be danger. And he got there in time enough to put this on videotape because the Euclid Police Department officers are not required to wear body cameras. And I knew that these things were happening in the city of Euclid. And I knew that there were some people who have been working on this issue for a very long time, a systemic issue. But then when this happened to our own staff member from the Cleveland Clergy Coalition, that automatically, who happens to live in the city of Euclid, that catapulted our whole new interest in engaging in this. And so what the first call that I made after this incident was a dear friend of mine who I know is a great advocate for making things better in the city of Euclid. My dear friend, Dr. I'm going to call you Reverend, Dr. Richard Montgomery, who's here today, who's been working on transformative issues for the city of Euclid for quite some time. Say hello to everyone, Dr. Montgomery.
Hello, everybody.
And I asked Dr. Montgomery, hey, what are you guys doing? I know there's something going on out there, and they have been trying to work with the mayor. And so I'm just let you tell the story. You've known about these issues for a while, and what have you been doing on the ground concerning the terrorism of the Euclid police against African Americans?
Well, you know, I originally
speak closely into the mic.
I originally started with talking to the mayor. My advocacy for what was going on with our police department started back in 2017 with that viral video that everyone has seen. Officer Michael Amiata, Euclid police officer, was seen in the street beating up Richard Hubbard. As many of us, we were outraged. And when we showed up to city council that Monday, it was a room full of people. And sitting in the audience was the mayor. And I had planned just simply to come listen. But essentially, sitting a couple rows over from the mayor made me feel compelled to say something, because I felt instead of the mayor standing up there and listening and taking the heat for an issue that was exclusively a city of Euclid issue, as chief law enforcement officer, the mayor should be there being held accountable. And she was not. So this journey started when I got up and I asked her simply, well, I said two things. One, I said this officer was behaving in a way that's reflective of the kind of culture that he operates in. Because usually when you go to work, you recognize what the values are of your workplace, and right. You operate within them. So to see this gentleman beating this man up so egregiously in the street said to me that there is a climate where this gentleman felt that this was okay behavior. So I asked her to do a review of the department, because I think that for many of Euclid residents and for people around this region, when you saw this man beating up this gentleman, you have no more tolerance for this.
Right.
We have to make sure that you're going to be proactive on our behalf, because that's what you were elected to do. We want you to go back, do a review of your department, come back to the citizens and tell us what you find.
Okay.
Because if you go back and you find that there are problems, and, you know, nobody expects you to have a problem-free police department. That, you know, I don't know where that exists anywhere in this country. But what we want you to do is come back, tell us what you find, so that up front we know what the problems are. So when something does happen, we know that you have been proactive at identifying it, and you already have a plan in place to fix this.
Okay.
And the mayor never did that.
And she did that, right?
No.
She did
not. The mayor never did that, not to this day.
That makes sense to me. And I also understand that you asked for, the mayor suggested she was going to have some listening sessions from the community to hear and get some feedback. Did that happen?
It did not. Mm-hmm. I asked her in 2007 at that city council
2017.
Meeting. Well, this was 17 when I asked her originally as a resident.
Mm-hmm.
But then Channel 5 came and did this use of force report where they found that 13 officers make up 80% of the use of force on the Euclid Police Department. And the mayor during council meeting said, yes, I recognize that there are some issues. I'm going to go to every community and we're going to do listening sessions because I want people to be able to tell me what they think we're doing wrong so we can work on
it. Did any of those listening sessions happen?
They have not happened to this day.
Do Euclid police officers are they required to wear body cameras?
They are not. I met with the mayor back in January along with Chief and Captain Kelly, and one of my requests was, and I actually went to city council. I went to city council first, and I requested that the council work with her to get these body cameras, our officers equipped with body cameras, because simply when
and
you
did they do it?
No.
Okay, well, the music is coming. That means we got to cut. We're going to come right back. This is one of those days we need a fall session. We need the extra 30 minutes, but we don't have it today. Well, you may have to come back, but I'm going to share some information that we're going to do on tomorrow regarding this. You listen to the issues of people in the community. Get us right back out of this break. Give us a call if you can. We may have a time for a caller or two. 216-578-1490. If you live in the city of Euclid, you know somebody that lives, you want to call them, tell them they want to listen to this broadcast today. 216-578-1490. You'll hear from us after this on the other side of this break.
NewsTalkCleveland.com.
In America, the zip code you're born into can determine your future. If this baby was born a couple miles away, his chances of dropping out of school skyrocket. Born 5 miles farther, his chances of experiencing violent crime rise. But just one town over, his chances at a healthier life improve. At The Y, our programs help all kids thrive, no matter where they're from. Support your local Y at ymca.net/forabetterus.
Today as a nation, we find ourselves caught having to deal with the repercussions of a country that may have caused its own internal divisions.
The Founding Fathers believed that we receive and enjoy our rights as individual children of God and not as members of one race or another, and that forms the basis of the American dream of freedom and justice. We must as a nation come together to solve our divisive issues of race as well as other social injustices.
Tune in Red, White, Black, Blue with Laverne and Jack every Tuesday from 6 to 7 p.m. on WERE 1490 AM radio. A house divided cannot stand.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 30 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Sometimes we forget that the funeral is for the living. It is the last visible viewing and celebration. But for those of us in the industry, it is a time for our experience and excellence to shine. At R.A. Prince Funeral Services, our expertise in different cultures, economics, and family blend makes us stand out in helping to meet the trust and faith you have placed in our hands. We know it is paramount for us to ease the burden and release the pressure of this time of need. Let R.A. Prince Funeral Services meet with you and take the worry out. Call us at 216-518-1777. That is 216-518-1777. R.A. Prince Funeral Services, for such a time as this.
1490 WERE traffic.
Good afternoon. This traffic update sponsored by Walgreens. If you're on Detroit Road and West Boulevard, you want to look out for a train that has stopped along the tracks in that area. Expect some heavy delays if you're traveling that direction. If you're going southbound 77, you'll find the right lane closed due to debris along the road just before Shuffle Street. If you're going northbound 71, there is an accident along the right berm blocking the right shoulder at West 130th Street. At Walgreens, you can get expert diabetes advice 24/7. Find all major brands of testing supplies and download tools to help you stay on track. Talk to your Walgreens pharmacist today. I'm Lorenzo Ware on Cleveland's News Talk 1490, WEREAM, the People Station.
This is for that little child with no father. For that man that doesn't have a place to stay.
All right, we're going to get right to it because we're running out of time. Dr. Montgomery, tell us. The mayor promised to have some listening sessions, correct?
That's correct.
Did she have those listening sessions?
She did not have any of the listening sessions she promised.
Okay, she promised also to have a review committee. What was that name of that committee?
It was supposed to be a use of force committee.
Use of force committee. And were there supposed to be citizens on that committee to review these incidents?
Actually, she had no intention on including citizens, so I came before city council and asked her to include citizens so that she could be transparent and we could also have a body of residents who are holding the police department and administration accountable.
And the use of force committee idea behind that was to review all of these complaints of use of force, these use of force incidences, whether they're complaints or not.
Correct.
Because they have to report these every time the use of force, there's a system that Euclid has, that you have to make a report of that.
Yes.
So the use of force committee was going to review all these reports.
Correct.
And did that happen?
No.
All right. And who all is on this use of force committee?
Well, it was the mayor, the law director, and the captain, the chief Meyer, and the captain who does training.
And so, what was the purpose? What was the purpose for them meeting, getting together?
Well,
did they meet?
Well, they met once or twice at the time when we talked, and they don't have regularly scheduled meetings, so this isn't something they're even being systematic about.
And then what have they done? What do they do?
Well, essentially, the use of force committee was not an accountability system to make sure that officers were operating within the law. It was essentially they look through the different cases, and if they find one that they think needs to be addressed, they then use it as a training piece instead of actually using it to address the behavior of an officer.
All right. And finally, Euclid police officers are not required to wear body cameras.
That is correct.
And how was that? I thought all police officers had to wear body cameras these days.
Well, in their union contract, it says that it's optional for them. But, you'd be hard-pressed to find a municipality in Cuyahoga County where police officers aren't wearing body cameras. It's that the mayor has not found this to be a significant issue, particularly for the folks who are within her defined community. So it hasn't been something that she's been willing to address.
And you reviewed several cases out in Euclid, correct?
Yes. Between 2016, 17, and 18, I reviewed 17,849 cases.
All right. And out of all those cases, what are your findings, sir?
Well, the findings are the data plus my experience in the Euclid Citizens Police Academy this spring, because the numbers tell one story, but the thing I think people need to understand is the officers in Euclid try to find ways to investigate people that they find suspicious. So they use a lot of these different traffic-related equipment laws, so display of license plates, your license plate light, whether you used your horn incorrectly. They find ways to use those things to pull you over. And what I found is that a significant number of these, and matter of fact, more specifically, 84% of the people who are policed using those techniques are black people, primarily black men.
84% of those folks who are pulled over for minor traffic violations to do further investigation, 84% of them are black, and generally speaking, black African-American men.
Yes.
All right, and we had an incident that happened with one of our staff members who is an African-American female. All right, so this is a problem, a systemic problem. We're going to address this issue tomorrow morning. All roads lead to Providence Baptist Church. Providence Baptist Church in Euclid. It's 24111 Rockwell Drive in Euclid, Ohio. It's also known as The Manor, 24111 Rockwell Drive. All clergy, you're welcome to come. We're going to meet and give information about what's happening in the city of Euclid. And then from there, we're going to the city of Euclid, and we're going to stand and have a protest there on tomorrow afternoon at 12:30 to advise and let them know that we are coming and that we are expecting to highlight. We want to highlight this issue and let the elected officials there know that we are all watching and we're holding them accountable, and we have a plan and we want them to follow it, and we're going to share that plan on tomorrow. So if you want to come be a part of the revolution of Euclid right here in our own city, you don't have to go all the way to Mexico to be concerned about the plight of people being oppressed. Right here in our own backyard, we have some things that are happening that we need to highlight and address as the church. And we're going to gather our clergy together tomorrow at 11 o'clock at Providence Baptist Church, 24111 Rockwell Drive, Euclid, Ohio. Then we're going to go over to City Hall, Euclid City Hall, and we're going to stand and we're going to stand there together and hold these folks accountable. But Grammy will be there. He's going to share some factual information, our research. We always do our homework before we do all these things, and Dr. Montgomery's been doing a fantastic job getting that work done. Thank you, Dr. Montgomery. I wish I had the other hot sauce 30 minutes, but I don't because we're in the summer. But we're going to come back on, okay? And we're going to follow up with this. We're going to stay on top of this. We are not letting this go. We may have to have you come back on next week. All right, so we may need to just address this every week until we see something done. And then we're going to see something done because we are not letting up. All right, until we get some justice. Thank you, Dr. Montgomery. Appreciate you. And we will see you tomorrow morning. He will be there. He's got some folks from the city of Euclid coming, African-American and Caucasian, because this issue, although it's African-American centrally for us, but also impacts the entire community. God bless you, Dr. Montgomery. We got our Black History Moment on the phone. Go ahead, Larry. You got it. Go, brother.
All right, Pastor. We got Robert Smalls, American businessman, born April 5th, 1839. Born into slavery in Beaufort, South Carolina, he freed himself, his crew, and their families during the American Civil War by commandeering a Confederate transport ship, the SS Planter, in Charleston Harbor on May 13th, 1862. He piloted the ship to the Union-controlled enclave in Beaufort, Port Royal Hilton Head, where she became a Union warship. His example and persuasion helped convince Abraham Lincoln to accept blacks into the Union Army. After the war, he returned to Beaufort and became a politician, winning the election as a Republican to the South Carolina State Legislature and the U.S. House of Representatives. Smalls authored state legislation providing for South Carolina to have the first free compulsory public school system in the U.S. We're honoring Robert Smalls. He died of malaria and diabetes in 1915 at the age of 75.
All right.
We're honoring Robert Smalls.
Thank you, Brother Larry. Appreciate you. All right. Come on, Stacy. You got our community news and kingdom information. Go, Stacy.
Absolutely. This is the weekend we've been waiting for on Saturday the 27th. I hope by then you will have gotten in touch with Jackie Cavanaugh Tucker to get your tickets for the lovely event featuring our very own Pastor E. Theophilus Cavanaugh at the Cleveland History Center, 10825 East Boulevard. That is at 3 p.m. There is a ticket price, $50, well worth the experience. And put your finery on. Put on your Sunday best on Saturday so that we can enjoy this event with and in fellowship and in honor of Pastor Cavanaugh. Not and with no relent, we have to rest up quickly so that we can go to early service wherever we are, so that we can be out and over to Temple Baptist Church by noon on the 28th. Because from noon to 3 p.m. at 1862 Noble Road in East Cleveland, there will be free haircuts, free food, free clothing, and backpacks in support of our families as we send our youth back to school.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate you very much with our kingdom news and community information. And we thank God for you Stacy, and thank you for our Black History Moment. Our dear brother, Brother Larry, we appreciate you all calling in with that information today, and we're getting ready to go. We thank you for listening. All of Cleveland, we appreciate you. We know we gave you a lot to digest today. There's a lot of things going on in our community, right in our backyard. We need support. We need to continue to be about our Father's business, advocating for the least, the lost, and those left out. And that's what we are about, the Cleveland Clergy Coalition. I'm Pastor Aaron Phillips. Glad to be here every Monday, 5 o'clock. We're here every Monday consistently to make sure we get the information out to make our communities better. God bless you, Cleveland. We love you. We'll see you at this weekend's activities. God bless you. Have a great week, Cleveland.
The proceeding was a paid program brought to you by Cleveland Clergy Coalition. The views and opinions expressed are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station or its management. WERE Cleveland Heights, WENZ HD2, and WZAK HD3 Cleveland.